broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you had an absolutely delightful weekend. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for January the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founders are absolutely brilliant. One of the greatest solutions we have to avoid, reject revolution, but to stand for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Normally, we do the recap of the show. So last Friday, we had an incredible two-hour broadcast, but I'm going to hold that recap off and do it probably next hour for several reasons. One, a lot of times people that listen to the second hour maybe don't have time to listen to the first hour because of their time zones or whatever the case may be. They don't often get the recap, so we'll let them enjoy that. Meantime, we've got a whole lot of news to get to, and we need all hour to get it done, to say the least. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir. All right, Kirk's absence, we'll go straight to Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Thank you for having me, Sam and Kurt. It's good to be with you.
All right, one out of two joining me, 50% in action, the rest MIA. All right, hey, Lowell, we got a promise to keep to our listeners. We talked last week about the fact that you've been on with us for quite some time. In fact, you've done such a fantastic job. We've increased your involvement. We're grateful to do that because of your incredible preparedness. You bring so many great topics to the table. But we really neglected to do something that we should have done early on. And I just don't really see how that happened except to say, hey, time flies, you're having fun. And it's easy to overlook things of importance. However, we talked about the importance of really talking about campaignforliberty.org, who they are, what they do. They're a national organization. They're organized by state. They have state leaderships. Our brother on the radio with us, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, is the Utah State Coordinator for the organization. And he likes to call himself the interim, but I hope it lasts forever. Anyway, one of the statements, or the main statement on the top of the campaignforliberty.org website, in my opinion, says it all in one sentence. So we're going to give you that one sentence, kind of the end-all statement. Then we're going to back into some of the details, okay? The end-all statement says this: reclaim the republic, restore the Constitution. Now, Lowell, just before you start on the breaking this down, I don't know that it gets better than that. Reclaim the public, restore the Constitution? It doesn't get simpler or more direct or more clear than that, does it?
No, Sam. Restore the republic can be achieved by, by adherence to the Constitution, essentially. So right there in one sentence is both the objective and how to accomplish it. And that's what I like about it, the simplicity and the power of restoring the republic and restoring adherence to the Constitution being the means by which we restore the public. I like it is succinct, it's profound, and it is really the means by which we can reclaim and restore this republic.
Now, restore the republic, or I'm sorry, reclaim the republic, restore the Constitution. That's what we've got to do. I focus on the principle of restoration instead of revolution. Campaign for Liberty doing the same. Campaign for Liberty is a quite a large organization now. It's been growing. People mocked Ron Paul when he first ran for president. When he ran for president the two latest times on the Republican ticket, 2008, 2012. In 2008, the first time, they said, you know, Ron's great. He's got a lot of leadership skills. He's spot on many issues, but he doesn't have an organization on the ground. He just doesn't, and that's his downfall, and he'll never really have real support or real gravity until that happens. You know what? That was taken seriously. A lot of money was put into organizing Campaign for Liberty, and now it's a real groundswell organization. It's even got subchapters in colleges across the country, and it's been growing. I don't think the mainstream realize what's happened, do they?
Well, probably not. As our listeners probably know, Sam, Campaign for Liberty was instituted in 2008 after after Ron Paul's mostly educational tour. I mean, he has always been about educating the electorate, which is what Thomas Jefferson said was required in order to retain our liberties. We needed a well-informed electorate. And so even when he ran for Congress back in the 70s for the first time, he just wanted to get out and talk about economic principles and talk about liberty, talk about the prosperity that comes from liberty, and he ended up getting elected. And so he often warns people that if they run for office, they might get elected. But his educational efforts have been lifelong, and it's just phenomenal the information and the wisdom that he has put into his campaigns and into his tenure in Congress over the many decades he has served this republic. And he is hopeful that, and I share his hope, that by re-educating and sharing the principles that he has taught through the decades, that we can again restore a well-informed electorate and thereby restore the liberty that our framers and our founders hoped that we would always have here in this country.
Now, I agree that getting elected is the goal of a campaign. However, I've always said, and I really double down on this, you know, it doesn't matter if you win or lose an election oftentimes. What matters is that you bring ideas to the table, that you do your best to make those ideas center stage. And whether you get elected and can actually, from the inside, work on policy to make those correct changes, the restoration happen, even if you don't win. I mean, I look at Ron Paul, and he didn't win either of the elections that he was in. He didn't win back in 88 when he ran also, three-time presidential candidate. However, he's brought some real issues to the table. He's advocated for those relentlessly. He stood by his principles without compromise. And he's literally, in my opinion, brought some of these issues to center stage. I mean, auditing the Fed is one of them. Understanding a true monetary policy is another. Getting out of unjust, unconstitutional, immoral wars and having a humble foreign policy like our founding fathers. Standing for free economics in the sense of a free market, where government just simply creates a level playing field, lets contracts be honored via the courts. In other words, a place for a redress of grievances. And really, that's government's role. And other than that, it needs to step out of the way and let the free market work. Let the principles work. Let moral hazard fail so that it doesn't become a serious divisionary reality in terms of the marketplace, etc. Ron has done that. But Ron's not the only one. There's many of us who have helped with that. And so he's taken this group of ragtag people, myself, Ron Paul, Lowell Nelson, Kirk Crosby, many, many others, and he simply brought them together under a banner called Campaign for Liberty. CampaignForLiberty.org is where you learn more about that. If you go to CampaignForLiberty.org/about, you get this succinct, several paragraph, but really on one page about, Campaign for Liberty Statement of Principles. It's incredible because it succinctly says really everything that needs to be said. And then at the end of the document, it points to this idea that, hey, anything that's not stated here specifically can be taken or understood, carried out from what is stated here. And that's a fascinating idea. It's kind of like the Constitution in that it's so well written, so compact, so clear in its delivery, that even if it doesn't cover something, you can look back at the principles and say, okay, what's the policy? What are we talking about here? How should we handle it? And you can derive from the principles taught, the takeaways, the application, the reality check is what I might call it, in such a way as to really be valuable. We teach people correct principles, they govern themselves is the idea. We don't need to spell out everything. We don't need big, massive, long, complicated, confusing documents. We can do it simply and effectively. I mean, the Lord believes that, hey, I can just give you 10 guidelines. And with those 10 guidelines, you know what? We'll create a moral people. They're called the 10 commandments, by the way. It's that similar idea. The founding fathers understood it. Look, they governed a whole nation with the supreme law of the land that is not very large. It really isn't even that many words when you think about it. People write articles on a daily basis that long. Okay? People write books and books and books and books how to fix the nation, how to change things. Somebody writes a new book and decides we're going to put a whole new plan in place. They write books and articles, and we got to try this, we got to do that. None of those things are tested and proven half the time. There's some half-cocked, concocted idea that, well, has maybe some merit, but doesn't have a track record of success. And the whole purpose of the Campaign for Liberty, ladies and gentlemen, is to reclaim the republic, is to restore the supreme law, by the way, of the land, the Constitution. And we can get that done, and there's a very short Campaign for Liberty statement of principles that points us directly back to the supreme law of the land. Campaignforliberty.org/about is the website. When we come back, we're going to have a complete segment where Lowell can just read this whole, lay this whole thing out for you, and then we'll discuss it in detail, point by point. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I worry about my parents because I think smoking is going to harm them. I mean, it harms my mom. She coughs all the time. I'm just like, Mom, it's because of your smoking. But she's like, well, see, this is what you should look at. See me, I smoke, and look at this. I'm just like, yeah, Mom, why don't you just try to quit?
Sometimes teenagers do know what they're talking about.
I've tried. I've brought them the little pamphlets that we get at school about not smoking, and I've, like, tossed it in front of them. I'm like, Mom, read this. We even got this thing from the American Cancer Society. It was this thing that you send around about not smoking, because my mom sends those things out. And she's, like, sitting here folding them up, and I was like, Mom, are you really going to send those out? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, isn't that a slight bit hypocritical? She says, no, I'm going to send them out. I was like, well, don't you see something? These people are trying so hard to get people not to smoke. She was just like, well, I know it's wrong, and I know it's going to harm me, but it hasn't harmed me yet.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about Campaign for Liberty's Statement of Principles, ladies and gentlemen. Campaignforliberty.org/about to read them yourselves. They're very, very well written. Short, succinct, to the point, clear as a bell. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. He's the Utah coordinator for Campaign for Liberty. Has those principles. We're just going to read them because there's just no way to say them better. And talking about them almost just derails the discussion. Go ahead, Lowell, then we'll break it down right after your explanation of them.
Okay, Sam, here we go. Americans inherit from our ancestors a glorious tradition of freedom and resistance to oppression. Our country has long been admired by the rest of the world for her great example of liberty and prosperity, a light shining in the darkness of tyranny. But many Americans today are frustrated The political choices they are offered give them no real choice at all. For all their talk of change, neither major political party as presently constituted challenges the status quo in any serious way. Neither treats the Constitution with anything but contempt. Neither offers any kind of change in monetary policy. Neither wants to make the reductions in government that are crushing debt burden demands. And neither talks about bringing American troops home, not just from Iraq, but from around the world. Our country is going bankrupt, and none of these sensible proposals are even on the table. This destructive bipartisan consensus has suffocated American political life for many years. Anyone who tries to ask fundamental questions instead of cosmetic ones is ridiculed or ignored. That is why the Campaign for Liberty was established, to highlight the neglected but common sense principles we champion and reinsert them into the American political conversation. The U.S. Constitution is at the heart of what the Campaign for Liberty stands for, since the very least we can demand of our government is fidelity to its own governing document. Claims that our Constitution was meant to be a living document that judges may interpret as they please are fraudulent, incompatible with Republican government, and without foundation in the constitutional text or the thinking of the framers. Thomas Jefferson spoke of binding our rulers down from mischief by the change of the Constitution, and we are proud to follow in his distinguished lineage. With our founding fathers, we also believe in a non-interventionist foreign policy. Inspired by the old Robert Taft wing of the Republican Party, we are convinced that the American people cannot remain free and prosperous with 700 military bases around the world, troops in 130 countries, and a steady diet of war propaganda. Our military overstretch is undermining our national defense and bankrupting our country. We believe that the free market, reviled by people who do not understand it, is the most just and humane economic system and the greatest engine of prosperity the world has ever known. We believe with Ludwig von Mises, Henry Hazlitt, and F.A. Hayek that central banking distorts economic decision-making and misleads entrepreneurs into making unsound investments. Hayek won the Nobel Prize for showing how central banks' interference with interest rates sets the stage for economic downturns, and the central bank's ability to create money out of thin air transfers wealth from the most vulnerable to those with political pull, since it is the latter who receive the new money before the price increases it brings in its wake have yet occurred. For economic and moral reasons, therefore, we join the great 20th century economists in opposing the Federal Reserve System, which has reduced the value of the dollar by 95% since it began in 1913. We oppose the dehumanizing assumption that all issues that divide us must be settled at the federal level and forced on every American community, whether by activist judges, a power-hungry executive, or a meddling Congress. We believe in the humane alternative of local self-government, as called for in our Constitution. We oppose the transfer of American sovereignty to supranational organizations in which the American people possess no elected representatives. Such compromises of our country's independence run counter to the principles of the American Revolution, which was fought on behalf of self-government and local control. Most of these organizations have a terrible track record, even on their own terms. How much poverty have the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund actually alleviated, for example? The peoples of the world can interact with each other just fine in the absence of bureaucratic intermediaries that undermine their sovereignty. We believe that freedom is an indivisible whole, and that it includes not only economic liberty, but civil liberties and privacy rights as well, all of which are historic rights that our civilization has cherished from time immemorial. Our stances on other issues can be deduced from these general principles. Our country is ailing. That is the bad news. The good news is that the remedy is so simple and attractive. a return to the principles our founders taught us: respect for the Constitution, the rule of law, individual liberty, sound money, and a non-interventionist foreign policy constitute the foundation of the campaign for liberty. Sam?
I just wanted that read because I don't know that it's possible to articulate it or summarize it or, you know, in any better way than it's already done right there. It's written out. It's absolutely spot on. And it hits on so many points. We could talk for hours, Lowell. But it really points to honest money, which is, in my opinion, one of the most critical pieces of the pie when it comes to the proper role of limited, controlled government. Honest money. Intrinsic value-based, scripturally sound, sound money. Honest weights and measures. The reason that it needs to start there is because half of the things that are attributed to renegade government at this point, Lowell, relates to the ability to just create money out of thin air. They fund things they ought not. They fund things that are moral hazard. They spend money and control people and do all these things. They use the stick and the carrot to control states and turn them into political subdivisions of the feds. And the list goes on and on and on. And at the heart of every one of that is the fact that they have unlimited ability to create so-called money. And the truth is, if we were to return to an honest currency, 90% of those shenanigans would go away because there would be no funding of it with real honest currency. That's one of the biggest points the Founding Fathers understood. And whether you support, you know, a central bank or not, the reality is that it was Congress to coin money and regulate the value thereof, and states, meaning the government, to only use gold and silver coinage as legal tender. And then the individuals could barter outside of that framework of honest money. They could do whatever they wanted, but that core, that stability would be there. We need to chase out the bad money with good money. It starts with opening it up to competition and competing currencies, and it starts with auditing and ending the Fed, exposing their shenanigans once and for all. There is no, in my opinion, besides turning to God as moral individuals, there is no greater core principle, Lowell.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam, and not one in a thousand people truly understand the importance of what you just said and what has been iterated by the Campaign for Liberty for years and what Ron Paul and Larry McDonald and others have iterated for years, and that is, as you so aptly said, sound money, constitutional money, honest money, an honest system of weights and measures. And by turning to and restoring an honest system of weights and measures, we would, in fact, be turning toward God, because it was God himself, the great Jehovah, who in the Old Testament demanded, insisted, that his people use an honest system of weights and measures. And you're, again, spot on, Sam, when you said that if we would return to this honest system of weights and measures, the federal government would not have the capacity, would not have the money to spend on the myriad programs and interventionist policies that it currently engages in. They simply wouldn't have that gold and silver from the state to spend.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org/about is the website to read it yourself. Details, breakdown in seconds, Lowell Nelson.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
President Trump's repeated claim that the country is under siege by violent crime is not sustained by the available data, argues Eric Beam of Reason magazine. Nor is the president's threat to federalize law enforcement in Chicago warranted by that city's admittedly shocking rate of violent crime. While Chicago saw more than 300 murders in the first half of 2016, according to the most recent FBI Uniform Crime Report, the city's per capita murder rate actually is not one of the worst in the country, Beam writes. That dishonor, at least for the first 6 months of 2016, belongs to St. Louis, Missouri, which had more than 27 murders for every 100,000 residents. That's more than double Chicago's murder rate of 11.6 per 100,000 residents. Both Orlando, Florida, and Baltimore, Maryland had rates above 20 per 100,000 during the same period, according to the FBI's tabulation. Opinion polls consistently show that a majority of voters believe that crime has increased since 2008. Among those who voted for Trump, 78% held to that belief. The truth, Beam observes, is that violent crime fell by 19% and property crime fell by 23% between 2008 and 2015, as measured, once again, by the FBI from data collected from more than 18,000 jurisdictions nationwide. Despite widespread alarmism over a supposed uptick in the crime rate, gun-related homicides, one of the most important metrics, are down more than 40% from their peak in the early 1990s. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sam Butchman, Kirk Cosby, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org/about on your radio. We're talking about this incredible document written by Campaign for Liberty. Reclaim the Republic. Restore the Constitution is their phrase. Campaign for Liberty Statement of Principles is what we're talking about. I mentioned that honest money is one of the most important pieces of this document, in my humble opinion. It points people to God, as Lowell wisely pointed out. It really focuses on reining in the shenanigans going on in government. And until we get that done, I submit to you, we can make gains. And those gains are good, and we should. But I'm telling you, it'll be limited in scope as long as we let them have unlimited power by giving them an unlimited fake purse to control the rest of us. Money absolutely corrupts and manipulates reality big time. One last statement right at the start of the document that I found so fascinating and agree with 1,000% is this. Our country has long been admired by the rest of the world for her great example of liberty and prosperity, a light shining in the darkness of tyranny. Wow, what a killer one-line reality check, if you will. And really, that summarizes the last couple of hundred years for the freest country on the face of the earth. Let's go to Kurt. Kurt, you read the document and looked it over in detail, too. What component do you think is critical or something that you would like to focus on here?
I've long focused on the money thing as well, Sam. There's no real mention too much of God and that kind of thing, or abortion, for example, that kind of stuff, which I put pretty high on my list. And yet, just the explanation of the problems with the money system is, a huge issue for me. There's one phrase there where it says, for economic and moral reasons, therefore, we join the great 20th century economists in opposing the Federal Reserve System, which has reduced the value of the dollar by 95% since it began in 1913. Now, some people, they read that and they say, well, how do you prove that? What I like to do, either at events I'm at or, places I'm selling honey, maybe on the street or whatever, on the table, I try to have a silver certificate. Now, if you don't know what a silver certificate is, ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up on eBay or Google or whatever. But, you know, I try to have them available. It's basically the last ones that are found that I can find are 1957. And what it says, basically, it looks like a regular dollar bill, but it says silver certificate instead of Federal Reserve note. And it promises on there in the words, you know, typically some fine print, but it promises that if you want to trade that for a silver dollar, and the last ones you can find of those typically are in like the 1920s, but if you want to trade it for a silver dollar, you can. That was 1957, as far as I know, the last ones that were printed, and I have those available, usually for about 3 Federal Reserve notes. But the point is that I can show people that the year before I was born, you can pretty much have traded for a silver dollar with that dollar. And now, at this time, you pretty much have to buy... use 20 of our paper dollars to buy one silver dollar, which is also a way to show that 95% change. And that's just since 1957. But at least it illustrates that our dollar today is about a nickel compared to that dollar. So I try to, you know, promote that.
Yeah,
as
and
well.
It didn't deteriorate as fast from 1913 to 1957 because we were still partially on a gold standard. Even though the erosion was taking place and even though the transfer of reality was occurring, it didn't happen wholesale until around 1971. And so it's a slow ramp up. But since 71, when we uncoupled reality from constitutional currency, the gloves were off, and it happened fast since 71 about. That's the reason for some of that change. It's very interesting. I agree with you that gold and silver is key. I agree with you that standing up for right to life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness is key. One of the statements that I find fascinating as well is this. Our country is ailing. That's the bad news. So they, you know what? They have a reality check. They're not naive. They're not, but they don't dwell on that. What the Campaign for Liberty says is this. Our country is ailing. That's the bad news. The good news is that the remedy is so simple and so attractive that a return to the principle that our founders taught us is the answer, basically, is what it's saying. Respect for the Constitution. Respect for the rule of law. Individual liberty. Sound money. A non-interventionist policy. Wow. Constitute the foundation of Campaign for Liberty. In one phrase at the end, it just summarizes and wraps it up. It's like it was written by a collegiate doctorate scholar. Lowell, what did you find so fascinating? Certainly, there's a lot to talk about. What to you stands out as vital?
Well, Sam, I want people to take this to heart and apply it in their own communities, counties, and states. One of the things that a new activist, a greenie activist, thinks is that they have to be involved at the national level in order to make a difference. And yet, in reality, the you know, all politics is local, and the biggest difference that any single person can make will be in their own neighborhood, in their own community. Maybe it's their HOA, maybe it's their community, their city council, or their county commission, or something like that. I don't want to have an organization with a single point of failure, for example. I don't want the organization to focus only on state issues. I want there to be many viable and active, you might call them chapters, of the Campaign for Liberty. I don't even care if you call yourselves Campaign for Liberty necessarily. Obviously, if you do, you'll have the weight and the influence of the name, and the national respect for the name and so forth. But if you want to call yourself, you know, Liberty Advocates, or you want to call yourself the Beehive Buzzers or whatever, as long as you hold dear the principles of the Constitution and you're actively engaged in local politics, then you are going to make a difference. You know, politics is if you if you think of it as a game, the game is won by those who show up. Those who complain are not necessarily showing up. It's the ones who actually attend the meetings and who show up, who vote, who make their watchdogs from the city council or whatever. They're the ones who get elected, and they're the ones who can then ensure that liberty is respected and that the rule of law is respected and the principles of the organization of the Constitution are respected and adhered to. And so I want this to be a grassroots movement, and it is, Sam. I mean, I'm not telling you anything new. There are many, many wonderful people, men and women around the country, youth as well as the aged, who are involved in the restoration of the Republic and the restoration of the Constitution. And that's the part that I get very excited about, is all of these wonderful people around in their local communities and counties working to restore the rule of law and restore the Constitution, Sam.
All right, this line from the Statement of Principles from Campaign for Liberty is just brilliant as well, and it says this. We believe that the free market, reviled by people who do not understand it, is the most humane economic system and the greatest engine for prosperity the world has ever known. Now that is a real statement of power and authority, and we are a light on the hill, if you will. We need to set the example for the whole world, and we need to return to the principles that made America great. And so they talk about, you know what, neither party is getting it done. This is not a partisan discussion, Lowell.
That's a good point, Sam. And I like the use of the adjective humane. You know, bleeding heart liberals, as we called them when I was growing up, will tell you that we need to take money from those who are rich and give that money to those who are poor so that they can, live, they can eat and have a place, a home to stay in and so forth. And, of course, that is forced charity. That's taking from those who have with the point of a gun, meaning the force of government, which really is at the point of a gun, effectively, and then giving that to those who do not have those things. Taking from the haves, giving to the have-nots, and yet that is absolutely unjust.
Amen to that. Hold on, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org/about in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson on your radio, breaking down campaignforliberty.org's statement of principles, campaignforliberty.org/about. Reclaim the Republic. Restore the Constitution. Our country has long been admired by the rest of the world for her great example of liberty and prosperity, a light shining in the darkness of tyranny. No doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there's one other statement that I find fascinating. So they reject partisan politics and say it's about the principles. Amen to that. Thomas Jefferson spoke of binding our rulers down from mischief with the chains of the Constitution, and we are proud to follow in his distinguished lineage. Just a document packed full of power. Wow, great stuff. We support it completely. Campaignforliberty.org/about to read more. Not only do they reject partisan politics, but they reject the notion that everything needs to be federal and or global. The checks and balances are key. Local control is critical. But they then talk about the reality that, you know what, the Constitution is not some living, breathing, changeable document at the whim of a bureaucrat or some professional do-gooder. That is a lie. It's fraudulent, Lowell.
Right, Sam. The Constitution, as George Washington so wisely said, can only be changed, may only be changed through the process specified in its own article, meaning it specifies how this document may be changed, and in no other way should it be changed. It should not be changed by fiat, meaning, you know, by just order of the president or order of the Congress or order of a judge or whatever. If it's going to be changed, then let it be amended in the proper fashion. I mean, back when alcohol was prohibited by amendment, at least the people at that time had the sense to know that in order for the federal government to get involved, they had to amend the Constitution, right? And you and I probably would agree that that's probably not the proper role of the federal government, but at least the people realized that if they're going to be involved in it, they have to amend the Constitution to do it. Nowadays, you know, people don't realize that the states are, you know, created the national government via the Constitution. They think that the U.S. Supreme Court, for example, is the final say on all questions that might come before the courts. Well, that's not true. The states created the national government and empowered it with specific enumerated rights specified in the U.S. Constitution. And so to restore the Constitution is to restore the framework or the mindset of the framers. And so when the federal government goes off and exceeds the bounds of the Constitution, whether it's via a presidential executive order or by a congressional statute or by a judicial decision or by a bureaucratic regulation, when they go off the reservation and do that, it's the duty of the state to stop that encroachment, to nullify that bad, that rogue action by the national government,
And it's a horizontal as well as vertical check and balance. Not only should the states reject the feds' out-of-control belligerent abuse of that power, but each branch of government should jealously guard their own and say, uh-uh, not happening, court. Or Congress, no, I don't think so. Or President, you're out of line, stop it. And so it's not only a vertical but a horizontal discussion as well.
Absolutely right, Sam. I think one of the reasons this horizontal check and balance is taught so widely in the public schools is because they want to obfuscate the vertical check and balance, the checks that the states have on the central government. They want us to forget that the states are the ones who created the national government, and the states should be the ones to put it back into its constitutional cage. And that really is the essence of our mission, is to, when we talk about restoring the Constitution, it's just a piece of paper. The principles on it are timeless. The principles of good governance, that is what we want to restore into the hearts and the minds of our countrymen, and particularly those who hold office. They have a fiduciary responsibility to the Constitution to restore it and to govern by it. And that's really what we mean when we say, let's restore the Constitution, Sam.
Amen to that. Now, there's two other points I want to get to before the end of the hour. One relates to the document itself exactly as written and focuses on it. The other one isn't mentioned in the Campaign for Liberty Statement of Principles. However, that part about, you know what, you can deduce what we stand for from this document and apply it to anything. I made that point at the start, and I want to make it again. You gain knowledge here. In other words, instead of being given a fish, you're taught to fish, if you will. The first one, though, is this idea, look, we got to have a humble foreign policy. We cannot survive as a nation when we have 700-plus military bases around the world, when we have an industrial war complex funded at every level, when we're in over 130-plus nations, militarily speaking. We cannot maintain that type of abuse around the world and expect to have God's blessings, Lowell. They clearly lay that out and suggest that we need the greatest general's humble foreign policy in the world. We need that in modern times, Lowell.
That's right, Sam, and it breaks my heart that the U.S. foreign policy is one of war and bombing and droning and torture, and these are our brothers and sisters around the world, Sam. These are fellow children of God who are suffering death and maiming casualties because of U.S. foreign policy, and it's just flat-out wrong. We are not doing them any service by bombing their countries and causing thousands upon thousands of refugees to flee to other countries. I mean, nobody wants to be drummed out of their own neighborhood, their own county, their own community, out of their own country. They grew up there. That's their heritage. And so it's absolutely wrong, this war, foreign interventionist foreign policy that the U.S. Has. And absolutely right, Sam. We need to change that. We need to repent. We need to get back to a humble foreign policy where we treat all nations in a friendly manner, where we allow trade back and forth with them, and we're not bullying them to do something that we want them to do. Let them govern themselves, just as we are able to do ourselves, Sam.
All right, let's make one other point about this. That does not mean we don't have a very strong defense to protect the freest country in the world. We do. It's just that we don't meddle in the affairs of the sovereignties of other nations. It means we respect others like we want to be respected. We treat others like we want to be treated, and we set the standard. We claim the moral high ground. We don't torture. We don't abuse. In fact, if we ever get a prisoner or somebody, we treat them so kindly that they're like, you know what? This isn't what I've been told about this country. I love it. I want to be part of it. Kind of an idea. It is the Prince of Peace way. It is the example we ought to set around the world as we are a light to the whole world. All right, last point, and this item is not in the document, but again, we
Sam,
can deduce.
Let me just interject.
Sure.
Just one comment on your point about defeating your enemy. There's no surer way to defeat your enemy, Sam, than to make him your friend.
Amen to that. All right, the next one is H.J.R. 3 in the state of Utah just passed out of committee. It's now going to be voted on by the House. There's no telling when they'll try to ram that sucker through and betray us. Nevertheless, the reality is HJR 3 literally calls for a constitutional convention or an Article 5 or a convention of the states. There's a gazillion deceptive ways to describe this. But the bottom line is it will put America in jeopardy. Those who claim they support the Constitution are doing their very best to undermine it or undermine it. And we need to reject that notion. And we need to do everything we can within our power in this narrow window that we have to let our displeasure with this agenda be known and to clearly, politely advocate for no, a rejection of a con push. We need to return to the principles, not change them. Opening it up for change is disaster, and we need to return to the principles, not modify and or destroy them. I'll use marriage. Dr. Scott N. Bradley, well-known constitutionalist, brings this up. He says, look, if you want to restore or fix marriage between two people, you don't visit the contract of marriage and destroy it or change it. What you do is you have fidelity to it. Lol?
Exactly right, Sam. It makes no sense to me to amend a document that the current administration and the current crop of politicians refuse to follow, you know, in the first place. Why do we think that we should spend any time at all in amending a document that they currently ignore? You know, the states think that they can impose greater control on the federal government by changing the original contract by which that national government was invested with power, and that's just simply not true. The rightful remedy, as expressed by Thomas Jefferson and by James Madison, is nullification, and Tom Woods has written an entire book on the subject, so we can't delve into that too deeply here, but that is the rightful remedy, and states already are doing this. All around the country, states are nullifying federal encroachment of state sovereignty. That is the rightful remedy. We should not, under any circumstances, go to an Article 5 convention to try to rewrite the original contract, Sam.
Amen to that. Final point, we're going to talk about Ron Paul's educational column. We're going to talk about a lot of modern and up-to-date news that happened over the weekend, etc. next hour. And Lowell Nelson's got to take off. He can't join us for the second hour like we often include him in. But he will be joining us next week, as he does weekly every Monday on Liberty Roundtable Live. CampaignForLiberty.org to learn more. Lowell, thank you so much for that timely reminder to focus on these principles and who's standing for what, sir.
You're so welcome, Sam. Thank you for having me.
There he goes. Godspeed, my friend. Liberty Roundtable Live continues. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? Thanks.